I truly would like to take you to the Word of God, the book of John, chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse in the book of John, chapter 15, verse number 1. And I want to bring you this morning a thought that the Holy Spirit has placed upon my heart to bring out to you about abiding in the lover, abiding in Christ. And so John chapter 15, verse number 1, we'll begin reading there. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How many of you know the branch can't do anything without the vine? If a man abide not in me, now listen, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. You separate the branch from the vine, or the limb from the tree, and the limb or the branch is going to be what withers up and dies. He said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us go to the Lord this morning in prayer and entreat the Lord for his ability to minister the word this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful. I am thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I sense. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the touch of your spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped your name. We come to the reading of the word and the delivery of your word, the expounding of your word, and I will quote you. Without you, I can do nothing. Give me unction to function this morning. Give me liberty. Put your mind, your words in my mind, your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. And I pray that you would let what is spoken come forth with clarity, simplicity, understanding, and with power. Let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to both hear and to receive, and to cause us to grow by the word of the living God this morning. Glorify yourself in our midst. Speak to our hearts through your word. Edify your people. And for all of these things today, Lord, we will give you the praise, and we ask them now in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. I want to title my subject this morning, The Results of Abiding in Christ. The Results of Abiding in Christ. How many of you know this morning that you are either abiding or you are not abiding in the vine? It's that simple. You are either part of the vine or you are not part of the vine. Our text this morning is a very powerful word given to us by the Lord Jesus. He tells us in that opening verse, he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And then in the same breath, he reveals to us that God the Father is the husbandman, or the caretaker, or the owner of the vine. He is the dresser of the vine. And then here in the text, he also tells us, and we learn exactly where we fit into the picture. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the owner of the vine, and you are the branches. And every branch, he said, that doesn't bring forth fruit is severed from the vine and cast aside. And the ones that do bring forth fruit go through a pruning process so that we may bear even more fruit. How many of you have ever felt like the Lord pruned on you? Hello? I have. Amen. It's for a reason. You prune back the branch. You train the branch. You get it. You get the vine in the plate. Then you prune it and you train it how you want it to be. That's what Christ does in our life. He tells us, I am the vine and you are the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. The branch cannot survive separated from the vine. The branch cannot exist or subsist separate from the vine. I don't know where we ever get the idea that we can separate ourselves from the things of God and from the house of God and still maintain a vibrant relationship with God. Let me just share with you this morning that a branch cannot produce anything of its own. It got to be connected to the vine. This morning, we need to first of all understand the necessity of abiding in the vine. We need to understand the necessity of having an individual and personal connection, amen, with Christ in our own lives. Now, let me just share with you this morning. It's one thing for grandma to have a relationship with God, but you got to have your own relationship. It's one thing for mom and dad to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I come to tell you this morning, you got to have your own personal connection. Amen. You need to make him your God. You need to be abiding in the vine this morning. Amen. It's one thing for someone else to be abiding, but we must be abiding on our own and in our own, amen, time abiding in him. We need to understand that it is through him that we have a physical life and spiritual life. Amen. Our physical life and spiritual life is dependent upon abiding in him. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 28, we live in him, or in him we live and we move and we have our being. In other words, our very existence is dependent upon abiding in the Lord. Our very existence is contingent upon abiding in him. He is our source. He is the source of our very spiritual life. And I came to tell you this morning that we need to maintain an abiding, ongoing, continual relationship with the vine. Jesus says in verse number 6, if a man abide not, if a man abide not, if you do not abide in the vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. The branch is withered and men gather them and cast them into the fire. In essence, what he is saying is that our spiritual survival depends upon, amen, a relationship with him. We will not and cannot spiritually survive apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. But when we are abiding in the Lord and we are staying connected to the vine, there are going to be some results. And there are going to be some benefits, and there are going to be some self-evident things in our life that prove our connection with the vine. There are going to be some things that are self-evident, that reveal that we are staying and maintaining a close and intimate relationship with the vine. Let me just share with you this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to our hearts this morning about abiding in the vine. I ask you a very simple question today. Are you abiding in the vine? Are we being steadfast and unshakable in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we maintaining and sustaining a close and personal experience with the Lord? Are we living a committed and dedicated and devoted life? Or are we all in on Sunday and then living half-heartedly, amen, the rest of the week? I came to tell you, if you want to have life and heaven, it more abundantly, you gotta be abiding in the vine. Amen. We need to be abiding in the vine. There are a few other verses that talk about abiding in him and what abiding brings to our life. John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6. This is what the apostle writes. He said, and he that saith he abideth in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. How many of you this morning would say, I am abiding in him? Is that you? Then he says, then we ought to walk as he walked. John, the Bible said, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, in the God's Word translation, it says, those who say that they live in him must live the same way that he lived. Well, hello? What John is telling us is if we are abiding in the Lord, then our life and our actions should resemble the life and the actions of Christ. If we are abiding in Christ, it means that our life should bear resemblance and it must be similar to the life of Jesus. There should be a similitude, a likeness, a likeness about our life and his life. It ought to be a mirror image reflection. Amen. When people look at us, they ought to see Jesus in us. Allow me to just take for a moment and share with you that Jesus was gracious and kind. Hello? If we are abiding in the vine, then our life should reflect that grace and that kindness toward others. Did Jesus agree with everybody that he ran into? No. But he still treated them with respect and kindness. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, that should be what comes out of our life. We may not agree with everyone about everything, but there ought to be a grace and a kindness that shows out of our life and out of our experience because we are connected to him. And if we are not connected to him, there's no telling what's going to come out of. Well, let me just ask you a question this morning. What comes out of your cup when your cup gets bumped? Hello? Let me just remind you, Jesus was merciful and long-suffering. And if we are abiding in the vine, then our life should mirror that mercy and that long-suffering to others. Jesus was a servant and a friend to the outcasts. Hello? I think you understand where I'm going. We need to emulate his example. We need to be, amen, we need to be a servant and a friend to those who are hurting and those who are brokenhearted. Jesus was prayerful and obedient. Hello? If we say that we are abiding in him, then we ought to walk like he walked. Jesus was forgiving and compassionate. And if we are abiding in him, then we too ought to be giving that love and that forgiveness and that compassion toward others. Because we are connected to the vine, it comes easy. It comes by him, not of our own ability. Let me just share with you this morning, amen, if you're trying to be kind and forgiving and compassionate and merciful and all of those things in yourself, you're going to wind up making a mess. Because that ain't who we are. But if you got him on the inside and the Holy Ghost on the inside of your heart, the Holy Spirit will enable you to be kind and merciful and long-suffering and gentle and meek and forgiving and kind, even in the face of those that misuse you. Because it's part of the work of the vine. 1 John Chapter 2, verse 6, those who say that they live in him must live the same way that he lived. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, this is what John says. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. No, now let me just... don't shoot the messenger. I didn't write it. But you can say you have a relationship with God. But if you're not in if you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, if you're not being gentle and meek and forgiving and long-suffering and all of the things that he was, then you are just pulling the wool over your own eyes and you do not have the relationship that you think you have. He, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If we are abiding in those things, then it is his nature that comes in us and through us. John is telling us that if we are abiding in him, then we should be lining our lives up by or up to or up by the word of God. We should be abiding, daily applying his principles, his teachings, his guidelines, and his example, following him daily and abiding in him daily on a continual, ongoing basis. What does that look like in the real world, abiding in Christ? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like in one day and out the next. It means to be continually connected in that relationship with God. Continually connected and being nurtured by the vine, receiving our nourishment, receiving the source of our life, amen, not of our own selves, but through him and by his Spirit, because we are connected in a personal relationship with him. The Holy Spirit this past week began to place 5 things upon my heart of the results of abiding in Christ. The first thing that I feel like the Holy Spirit would have me to speak to you about this morning is that when we are abiding in Christ, the first result that we are going to see manifested in our life, the first result of abiding in Christ is that we are going to be spiritually fruitful. Understand that when the Bible talks about fruit, it is talking about motives and the actions that flow out of us from our heart. Actions, deeds, conduct are an extension of the condition of our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't have to be around folks very long till you find out what's in their heart by just listening to what they talk about. Hello? Amen. I'm saying this morning that our actions and our deeds and our conduct, the fruit of our life, is nothing more than an extension of what is in our heart. One day the Pharisees saw the disciples eating with unwashed hands, and they were quick to condemn because the disciples had broken the traditions of the elders. And Jesus basically tells them, it's about the heart, dummy. Now, Jesus didn't actually say that. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16 through verse 20. He said, and ye also, are you yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth and goeth into the belly and is cast out into the waste? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornication and thieves and false witnesses and blasphemies. These are the things that, he said, defile a man. In other words, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts and regulation. It's about what's in your heart. And if you are connected to the vine, then what's in your heart is going to be the heart of Christ. It's not about what you put into you that defiles you, but it is what comes out of you. In Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you to turn there this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through verse 25 shares with us the condition of men's hearts. In a very, very plain and simple way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. This is what Paul says about the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, and the works and the fruit of the Spirit. He starts with the works of the flesh, and he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are acted out. They are acted out in life. They are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotion, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. And he goes on to say, amen, of the which I tell you before, and I also told you in time past, that they which do those kind of things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be pruned off of the vine, and they will be cast aside, and they will wither and die and be thrown to the fire. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that which naturally occurs if we are connected to the vine, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, if we live connected to the vine, let us also walk in the Spirit. All of these attributes that he shares with us, amen, there in the latter verses are the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what naturally occurs when we are abiding in Christ. It just naturally flows through us. I have used this illustration before. You do not have to stand in front of a pear tree in the spring and say, please, please produce a pear. You just water it, prune it, and it just happens because the limb is connected to the tree. Hello? Let me just share with you. You don't have to go, oh, please be kind, please be loving, please forgiving. No, if you're just connected to the vine, it just comes easy. It just comes natural. Yeah, you may have to war with your flesh once in a while, but understand what I'm saying is when you're connected to the vine, he gives you divine ability to be like him. Amen. There's an old song that we used to sing that went, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Was I always loving and forgiving and merciful and graceful and kind? And you know, I wasn't always like that. Amen. There'd been a time or two that I'd fight you at the drop of the hat and I would drop the hat. You hear what I'm talking about? But he got on the inside of me and he changed me from the inside out. Amen, amen, amen. His nature began to fill my heart. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that the first results of abiding in Christ is going to be spiritual fruit being manifested in your life. Well, if there's no spiritual fruit being manifested in your life, it says something about where you are in the vine. Hello? The second result of abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, is answered prayer. That's one of the results of abiding in him, answered prayer. He said that right there in verse number 7 in our text. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is powerful. You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I wonder why sometimes we don't get the answer to the prayer that we have prayed. Could it be that we are not abiding in the vine, and his word is not abiding in us as it should? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 21 and verse number 22 said, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we are doing the things that he knows, or that we know that he desires for us to do, if we are living in the manner that he has asked us to live, if we are abiding in him and we are striving to draw closer to him and maintain that personal individual relationship with Christ, then let me just share with you this morning, amen, our heart is not going to condemn us, and we are going to have confidence and faith to ask God, amen, and believe that God hears us, and when we ask in that measure, we have faith and confidence to believe that he hears us. If our heart does not condemn us, if we are walking in fellowship with him, if we are abiding in him, if we are keeping his commandments, if we are abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, why is that? That the second part of that verse is just as important as the first and the last. Verse 7, if we abide in him and my words abide in you. Why is it so important for his word to abide in us? Why? Because faith has to stand upon something. Our faith has to rest upon something. And the only thing that creates faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's the picture. When we abide in him and his word His faith-giving word abides in us. Now my faith has got something to stand upon. Amen. I may be facing a sickness, but I know that he said, I am the Lord God that heals you. I may be facing a financial need, but I know he said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. And when I know what he said, it gives my faith something to rest upon. The unmovable, unchanging word of God. And if I'm abiding in him and his word, his promises are abiding in me, I can ask what I will and it shall be done unto me, unto you. Abiding in Christ, the results of abiding in Christ, brings spiritual fruitfulness and it brings answered prayer. The third result that it brings is twofold. It brings peace in the midst of the storm or in the midst of trouble. And having an abiding experience in the Lord also brings the result of being at peace with God. Two things. It brings peace in trouble, and it brings peace with God. Peace in trouble, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things, he said, I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. How many of you have found that to be true? It comes, it goes. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. And if we are abiding in him, he gives us peace in the midst of our storm. Because we know that he has already been made an overcomer. And because he has overcome, then we can overcome in and through and by him. Secondly, it brings peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and through the 23rd verse. Paul writes these words. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by Christ. I say whether things be in earth or things in heaven, and you, talking about and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you has he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and unreprovable in his sight. I love that. Amen, amen. When Christ died for us, amen, he saved us to the point where we are made holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God. That's good. If you're looking at verse number 23, if, everybody say if. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven. What he's saying is that we have been given peace with God if we continue to stay rooted, grounded, settled, and remain in the vine. If we stay connected. If you this morning, amen, have been moved away and you are unsettled, then get back where you need to be with the Lord. If we continue to remain rooted, grounded, and settled, and we are not moved away from the gospel, not moved away from the hope of our calling, the third thing abiding in Christ brings, it brings peace, amen, when trouble comes, and it brings peace between us and God if we remain rooted, settled, and grounded in him. Abide in the vine. The fourth thing that it brings is new life. Abiding in Christ brings new life. Amen. That's what being born again is all about. It brings new life, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, by the vine. And he hath given unto us, he said, the ministry of reconciliation. Amen, amen. What he's saying is that God, through Christ, has made a way where we could have new life. We can have new life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, because it was so limited, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. That's what happened at Calvary. God the Father condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And when he did that, he made a way for you and I to have new life in the new covenant in him. Amen, amen, amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. If you are abiding in the vine, there is no condemnation in your spirit. Hello? If you are abiding in the vine, there is nothing but new life and joy and peace and glory in him. Amen, amen, amen. John chapter 10 and verse number 10 said, the thief comes only for one purpose, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that I might give you life, and that more abundantly. I came so I could give you new life. I got news for you this morning. Amen. God desires his church to be the happiest, most satisfied bunch of folks on planet earth that there is. Amen. We ought to be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be filled with the peace of God. Amen. That passes all understanding. We ought to be filled with strength and might and power through the Holy Spirit. And I came to tell you, amen, we ought to be connected to the vine in order to have it. Amen. We ought to have new life flowing through us. Number five. The fifth result of abiding in Christ. Number one, spiritual fruitfulness. Number two, answered prayer. Number three, peace in the midst of trouble and peace with God. And number four, new life. Number five, we have received the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The results of abiding in Christ are God's approval. How many of you desire to have God's approval? That's what righteousness means. It means right standing, approval. My seal of approval, my seal of acceptance. That's what righteousness means. Now let me just share with you. The scripture said that our righteousness, our efforts, our good works, our trying is nothing but filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But he has given us through the vine his approval and his righteousness. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4 through verse number 9. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now he's about to talk about his accomplishments. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. If you think you have had it going on, I have outdone you. That's what he's saying. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews. As touching the law, I was so learned and so knowledgeable and so scholarly that I was considered a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, he says, I was blameless. I did a lot of things that were good. I had a good pedigree. But he says in verse 7, but what things I counted to be gain unto me. He said, I now count those things as loss so that I can win Christ. Yea, doubtless, and all I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as nothing but dung. The Greek word for dung is dung. Hello? I'm pretty sure in Italian it means the same thing. I count everything, that whole entire pedigree, all of those things that I used to trust in, all of those things that I accomplished, I count all of that as nothing. So I can win Jesus Christ and find the righteousness of God that is found in Christ Jesus, because my righteousness, my accomplishments are nothing but filthy rags, but in him I have the approval of God the Father. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God, for he, it says in the King James, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That just simply means that God took Jesus Christ and he laid upon him our unrighteousness, nailed him to the cross, and he took the righteousness of Christ and he clothed us with his righteousness. We didn't have anything to do with it except believe upon the Lord. Hello? The fifth result of abiding in Christ is having a right standing with God. The Bible said that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I'm glad this morning that I don't have to fear, amen, the coming of the Lord. I'm glad this morning that I don't have to stand before him in a fearful manner, because I do not stand before him in my righteousness, but I stand before him in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And if I'm abiding in the vine, he imparts unto me that robe of righteousness and gives me, amen, the approval of God the Father. And when I stand before him, I can stand in his presence with worship in my heart and adoration in my spirit and a song of praise upon my lips, knowing that I am well in him. The first result is spiritual fruit. The second result is answered prayer. The third result is peace. The fourth is new life. And the fifth, his righteousness imparted unto us. Amen. We need to be abiding in the vine. And let me just share with you this morning, if we are abiding in the vine, then the results of these things that we have spoken of are going to come to pass in our life. Because that's what flows from the vine. That's what flows from the vine. And when we are abiding in him, then we can claim every promise in the book. We used to sing a little old chorus, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Amen. I came to tell you this morning, if you're abiding in the Lord, every promise in the book belongs to you. You are a child of the living God. I was sitting on the patio this morning and thinking about the closing of this message and about claiming the promises of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to my heart about Psalms chapter 91. It's a little lengthy, but I just want to read just some of it to you. If you're abiding in the vine, then these are some of your promises. Psalms 91 verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many of you know there has to be a reality to cast a shadow? Hello? If you see a shadow, there's got to be a reality to the shadow. There's something that's making the shadow. He said, you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I like that. He hovers over us. He overshadows us. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. And in him will I trust. You ever need a refuge? You ever need a fortress? I got good news. If you're abiding in Christ, then this promise of a refuge and a fortress is yours. Verse 3, surely, not surely, but surely. That's an old joke. I always say that, you know, surely is not Moses' maid. Surely, as sure as I'm standing here, he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What I'm saying is he has promised just as surely as the enemy has set a snare for you, he will deliver you from the snare of the enemy and from the noisome pestilence, and he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, and his truth and thy, amen, shall be thy shield and thy buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. He said, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But if you're abiding in Christ, it shall not come nigh unto you. Thou shalt not be afraid. Nor, he says, for the pestilence that walk in darkness, and the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. But he says, but because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, the writer says, even the Most High God, thy habitation. Let that sink in for just a moment. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, your abiding place, your dwelling place, Because you have made him your habitation and you are abiding in him and he is abiding in you, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling place. And he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of your ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, and you will tread upon the lion and the snake, or the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall you trample under your feet, or trample under your feet, because he has set his affection and his love upon you. And therefore, he said, I will deliver him and set him on high, because he has known my name, and he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Wow. That is some good stuff. Hello? That is some powerful stuff. And he said, and besides that, I will satisfy them with long life and show them my salvation. Well, I just want you to know this morning, if you are abiding in Christ, that's part of your inheritance. That's part of your inheritance. The results of abiding in Christ are so wonderful and blessed. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He's the owner. He's the caretaker. And if you abide in me, then your life is going to be a reflection of my life. If you abide in me, then your walk is going to mirror my walk. Your actions are going to mirror my actions. Hello? If we remain rooted and grounded and grafted into him, we need this morning to understand that we need to maintain a personal and vibrant relationship with him. I have seen limbs, you have seen limbs in a tree that for some reason were still in the tree, but they were dead. They needed to be taken away. Clear the tree out, clean the tree up, hello. I don't want to be one of those dead branches. I don't want to be one of those branches that the owner comes along and trims off and tosses to the side. I want to be vibrantly bringing forth fruit. I want the vine to be flowing in me. My prayer, my desire, I believe the prayer and desire of the Holy Spirit this morning is for all of us to understand that we are either in the vine or we are not. And if we are in the vine, then there is a place where he comes along and prunes and clips away, and so that we can bring forth more fruit. But if we are vibrantly growing in the vine, there's going to be some results of that abiding. There's going to be some peace in your heart. There's going to be some spiritual fruit. There's going to be some joy. There's going to be some things in your life. There's going to be a new life, and there's going to be, amen, approval, and there's going to be some things that flow in you and out of you as a result of being in him. And if we're not seeing those self-evident results, maybe we're not abiding as we should. Maybe we're a dead limb in the tree. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. While the musicians come back to the platform here this morning, Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the true vine. Thank you that you have grafted us in to Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have made us a part of that vine. Thank you this morning, Lord, for the self-evident things that should be flowing out of our lives as a result of being in you. If we look into our hearts this morning, Lord, and we do not see the self-evidence of abiding in you, then I pray this morning you will shake us up, wake us up, and cause us to understand the error of our way. And help us to return to that intimate, personal experience with you. Speak to every heart, I ask, O Lord, in your mighty name, I pray. Speak to every heart, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to just say, Pastor Gary, I don't think I'm abiding the way that I need to be abiding in him. There's some areas of my life where there is some fruitlessness. God sees your hands, yes, and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. There's some places in my life that feel pretty barren. Some of those self-evident spots are not visible in my heart this morning. Anybody else, you'd lift your hand and say, that's me. All right, God sees your hand. I thank you, Jesus. Listen, that's not what God desires. God desires for us to be flourishing and filled with his life-giving spirit. He gives us the choice to come to him and strive with him, walk with him, and continually to draw nigh unto him. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. He gives us that opportunity. He gives us that choice. In fact, he put this message on my heart this morning so he could just remind you of the error of our ways and cause us to understand that he has something more and something better in mind for us. I appreciate all of the hands that's been lifted. Stand to your feet this morning, if you will. Slip your hands right up toward heaven and let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for bringing revelation to our heart and our spirit in areas where we realize that we have failed or fallen, and areas where we have not maintained that intimacy with you. I pray now, Lord, that you will be the restorer of that breach, that you will restore those areas of our life, Lord, that we may vibrantly be attached to the true vine and bring forth much fruit, and that our fruit would bear witness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray it, I ask it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and come and sing.